Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:42 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is September 16th. I thought we'd kick off with the credit impulse in China because I think it's probably the most important chart in the world right now. So they massively increased the quantity of liquidity being pumped into the market in 2009. They basically increased and you can see there that it went from 20 to 40, so they doubled the amount of money in the system. And basically, China bailed out the entire global economy. They massively increased their pace of building and the deployment of resources to try and create a consumer economy, and that was largely successful. Was probably the seeds, really, of the success of companies like JD.com or Pinduoduo or Alibaba or Tencent, for that matter. And it also massively inflated asset prices, particularly in the property market, and it created a fear that there was going to be a property bubble. So since then, they've been trying to withdraw the liquidity. So it's been partially successful, but there have been acute needs for additional liquidity on successive occasions in 2013, 16, and then again in 2018, and most particularly in 2019, but you can, or in 2020, but we can see that the quantity of money put in 2020 was nowhere near as large as that put in 2008. So China, by insulating itself from the coronavirus and locking off the whole economy, was, and basically ensuring that the manufacturing sector and the export-oriented portion of the economy was unaffected by the pandemic, and they were able to warehouse whole populations of workers in the factories. So that was then very convenient to ensure that production was able to remain on track. And they started to withdraw liquidity from the market. Now we're starting to see pressure. And pressure is coming through, most particularly in the property sector. China Evergrande could easily go bankrupt over this weekend. The Mid-Autumn Festival is Monday and Tuesday of next week. So it wouldn't be all that surprising if a long weekend where the markets are shut is used as an opportune moment to announce a bankruptcy, because it would give time for the monetary and fiscal authorities to ensure that they can put in remedial action. There's absolutely no doubt that the price is accelerating lower, and that Evergrande has been unsuccessful in trying to sell its assets. So it's pretty much already baked in that the company is going to go bust. The only big question then is how much contagion risk is there? Well, ahead of an event like that, it's very difficult to say exactly how much contagion risk there is, but there's certainly the potential for it, and we are starting to see some evidence of it. And I think it's particularly relevant to highlight that the Hong Kong Properties Index does not have China Evergrande as a constituent. So it's pulling back because of problems in other property developers, and it closed at a new low and testing the low from all the way back in March of 2020. So this does not look like a bullish pattern despite the short-term oversold condition. And then we can think about the Shanghai property market, because it's sitting on a large downside weekly key reversal, and there's been a clear downward bias to trading since the peak in 2015. So there's certainly a rolling over characteristic here. And this is also exhibiting some pressure. Now we can also think about, well, what else is going on in China? Well, iron ore prices are coming down quickly and accelerating lower in here today. So this is looking like a completed top formation. We had the acceleration on the upside, massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now it's accelerating lower. Iron ore prices are not going to zero, but certainly this is a very significant pullback. And of course, iron ore is part of the steel sector, and steel is a major component in buildings. So the decline in the property market could also be, this could be a symptom of the weakness that we're seeing in iron ore prices. Then we can think about what are the actions that the Chinese government have taken, because they have been weighing heavily on the technology sector. But rather than specifically about the power of and reach of the technology sector, the thing that the Communist Party have spoken most acutely about is uncontrolled capital. So what they're primarily worried about is hot money flowing in and out of technology companies and the various deals that are going on, which remain outside of the control of the government. And on top of that, the potential that those deals could be used for the purposes of capital flight, because the acquisition of a company overseas would then necessitate that money be sent overseas. So they're clamping down on that practice right now. And then we can think about the measures that were taken against the casinos in here today. So they are now starting to weigh on Macau as a center for speculation and gambling. But of course, casinos have also been one of the primary conduits for capital flight. So they're also clamping down on that. And then we can think about the efforts that remain underway and are likely to intensify, which are to curtail trading and mining of Bitcoin. So, in many respects, what China is doing is they're cutting off the potential routes for capital flight, because they understand, and they've understood for a long time, that if they ever do have a significant problem evolve in the property markets, there's enough money within the country to deal with it, provided that money can be marshaled in a productive manner. And the one thing that would unhinge any kind of measure to manage in an orderly fashion a debt deflation would be capital flight. So they're definitely doing absolutely everything in their power to avoid the potential for capital flight. But what we have seen is that gold pulled back very sharply today. So that does suggest that Chinese investors are selling their gold. And this was a dynamic move. It did close off the lows, and right now in the region of the $1,750 area. So it would certainly be ideal if gold can rebound in a dynamic manner tomorrow, and most particularly if it can continue to hold the $1,700 area. But we're definitely in a touch-and-go environment, because there is a preponderance of downward dynamics. And we still have the downward bias overall, despite the loss of momentum on the downside. I've been of the view that we're coming out the other end of this significant period of underperformance in gold. So I do want to see that the lows around $1,700 hold, because a sustained move below that level would be a really quite significant breakdown. Silver prices are also back testing the region of their lows, and it does look like it's encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and that trend mean is turning downwards. So it's rather important that we start to see support coming through reasonably soon for silver as well. So we've certainly seen that there has been a flight to cash, and that is what's also relevant is that we had swaps being unwound in the last couple of weeks, which aided to demand for renminbi, but the renminbi was quite a bit weaker in here today. So we're also seeing demand for cash from foreign investors, and they're pulling their money out of renminbi. So going back to the beginning of the broadcast, we can remind ourselves of that credit impulse, because we have plenty of evidence now that the declining credit impulse has caused liquidity problems, and they're being manifested in the property markets, and the property market represents a significant proportion of the Chinese economy. So then it's likely that we're not all that far away from the credit impulse starting to turn upwards again. that could result in an additional reserve requirement cut for the banking sector, or it might be some other measure designed to reinstill confidence in markets. But until we get that, then it is likely that we're going to have continued volatility, and that has the potential to stretch through into the commodity markets more generally. So the copper price was down in here today. It's still holding the $4 area, and this still looks like a consolidation in the region of the all-time peak. But there is a downward bias to trading since May of this year, and in order to really break that, now we're going to have to see a sustained move above the $4.50 area. And if it breaks downwards, I think that would be the greatest source of evidence that we are looking at a bigger contagion effect for the global economy. So it's relevant then to think about the rest of the global stock markets. The Australian market is still a major supplier of commodities to China, and that's a significant proportion of the positive trade that Australia enjoys, or the trade balance that it enjoys. The stock market there continues to bounce from the region of the upper side of the underlying range, so we're still in a bull market overall. The S&P 500 has begun to bounce again from another mid-month low. So options are going to expire tomorrow, and we're starting to see money flowing into the next maturity. And if the pattern holds true, which has been the case for the last 4 months, then we should see a new high for the S&P within the week. Well, if that's the case, then this pattern of performance with short-term dips in the middle of the month is certainly a primary consistency characteristic, and it would have to break in order to really suggest that the bullish environment, which continues to churn out new highs, is under threat. The Nasdaq also remains really quite firm and was also off its lows in here today, and the semiconductors index in the US was at a new closing high, a new all-time high, in fact, in here today. So pulling away from the range that's been forming for most of this year. Nonetheless, when we think about Taiwan Semiconductor, for example, then the share is easing back from the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 6 months. And Samsung Electronics has broken downwards, and it looks like a completed top formation. So we're definitely seeing that there's pressure building in different portions of the stock market. Certainly, buybacks continue to be a significant source of demand for stocks on Wall Street, and I think that's one of the more important factors right now. When we think about corporate profits, they have accelerated higher over the course of the last year. So we had the big dip in 2020, and then a massive acceleration higher following that. And this is a quarterly chart. So and then it also gets revised. So it tends to look different from one quarter to the next. But there's no doubt that corporate profits continue to soar, and we haven't seen anything like this since the acceleration out of the nadir of the credit crisis in 2008. It's not really until corporate profits start to roll over and trend downwards that we see significant problems occurring in the wider stock market. So certainly valuations have increased, and there are threats out there on the horizon, and there's the potential that an disorderly bankruptcy in China Evergrande could result in significant problems in China that could infect the wider emerging market universe and the wider commodity complex and commodity producers, and more broadly the luxury goods sector, and also a large number of additional sectors. And this is important because it's all down to what happens in terms of China's credit impulse. If they're willing to rescue the property market again by pumping liquidity into it and ensuring that prices remain stable, then the rest of the economy in the globe is going to continue to do well and will remain on a recovery trajectory. But if China really does endure a significant debt deflation, and that is the potential risk, then there isn't going to be very many other places that will be preserved from that risk. So certainly we're looking at what's happening in China with a keen eye, and there's certainly also the potential that everything is a storm in a teacup, and that the bankruptcy of Evergrande will be managed, that contagion will be controlled, and that this risk will ebb away, and then that will contribute to dip buying right across the boards in the emerging markets, and it will remove a risk premium from other markets, and we'll continue to see additional upside. And it's also relevant that 10-year treasuries were a little bit higher in here today. So 10-year treasuries are not pricing in the potential that we're going to have a significant debt deflation. In fact, they're still willing to give the benefit of the doubt to broader inflationary pressures overall. I think when we just look at how are the pressures in the CPI basket broken down, we've had massive inflation in electricity, gas, fuel prices, and a lot of things like maintenance and packaged holidays have been declining. But the thing is that you only buy these types of things once or twice a year, and you buy these kinds of things every day. So that is, I think, one of the biggest contributors to the perception of inflation. And oil prices were up in a dynamic manner yesterday. They appear to be coming back down again. Or at least they were. When I looked at oil before I recorded this, began recording about 45 minutes ago. So oil has rebounded off the low. And now the question is, are we going to see prices push all the way up to the $80 area? And again, oil prices are not exhibiting the kind of pressure that would be entailed by China's demand evaporating. So we're still in the early stages of any kind of contagion event. Even if one were to occur, we're still in the very early stages of that. And the challenge, of course, is that the Chinese authorities might be in the process of making a policy mistake and might wait too long before intervening. So we just have to wait and see what happens on that front. But certainly, oil doesn't look like it's a particular problem. The stock market remains quite firm, and copper prices are consolidating. They're not accelerating lower. So we remain in a reasonably benign environment where corporate profits continue to do well, and it's increasingly likely that the market will be continually supported by significant fiscal accommodation. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.